fighting for America.
We will continue to call for the immediate release of detained U.S. citizens Saeed Abedini, Jason Rezaian, and Amir Hekmati.
Fighting for Idaho.
How sad was it in the streets of Paris as 40 world leaders walked down the street? Absent was the United States of America. Where was the president? Where was the vice president? Where was the secretary of state?
Fighting for you.
In this country, when it comes to medical care, we expect insurance to even cover the $4 aspirin.
Yes.
If you got into a fender bender every month, what would happen to your premiums? They'd go up because you're filing too many claims. You are now high risk.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning. It's that time. Our great friend Dave Pezzo with us. And to all those on hold, Terry, Bill, and Tim, we'll get to you with Dave Pezzo. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And a little early for you today.
It is. No Channel 7 today with Martin Luther King Day.
You know, we...
Markets are closed.
That's okay. We love you every day.
And you have coffee. So I came in for coffee this morning. Got up, came in.
Got to make sure my backup job, the hospitality industry, works fairly well. Now, I think of my life seems to revolve around content for the show, and it's funny. As soon as I heard the president talk about raising taxes, I didn't think of anything else or anyone else but you. And I think I have a little of that here at 580 KIDO, the president talking a little bit about jobs. His preview of the State of the Union, let's take a listen here at 580KIDO.
This year, several of these letter writers will join me at the Capitol when I deliver my annual State of the Union address on Tuesday night.
Well, he's going to hang out with people that write letters. However, the president did say that he's going to raise taxes. Here's the details from Rachel Sutherland at 580 KIDO.
President Obama is expected to call for $320 billion in tax increases on the very rich over 10 years. White House advisor Dan Pfeiffer says the money would be used for tax breaks for the middle class.
We should ask the wealthy to pay a little more and invest more in the middle class, give the middle class a raise.
But Republican Senator Marco Rubio says
raising taxes on people that are successful is not going to make people that are struggling more successful.
Both men appearing on CBS's Face the Nation. The proposal is expected to be a non-starter in the Republican-controlled Congress. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio.
Ah, Rachel, Rachel, Rachel. Dave Pezzo, without further ado, your reaction to the president that's going to raise our taxes. Is it true that you will confront him Wednesday when he's in town about this?
I'd love to debate him on the stage about it. It's ridiculous.
And we could carry it here at 580 KIDO.
There you go. I'd love to.
Pezzo versus Obama.
Right, right. Well, he obviously won't. He won't debate it with anybody. He just believes what he believes. There isn't any functional reason for this. Already taxes have doubled on the wealthy. But is that you're a millionaire if you make a $250,000 a year? Because you'll do it in 4 years? Yeah, I mean, we redefine this. Whenever you raise taxes, the government is already too big. It's too big.
It's grown
enormously
under him.
It's the deficit has gone from 10 trillion to 18. 18 trillion in the amount of time he's been there. But it's not enough. It's not enough. They want more. If you give them more money, it won't matter. But here's the bottom line. We always miss the argument. I think Rubio nailed it on the head. I think that's the argument that should be there all the time. It's not an anti-middle class statement to allow successful people to prosper. And every time we've reduced taxes, Democrats and Republican presidents both have. The tax revenues have exploded. The economy has done very well. So it's a ridiculous idea. And thank goodness he obviously was decimated in the polls in November. Because now they really will have no audience for this.
Isn't this a political move based on the fact that it has no chance of getting anywhere in Congress? And if the president truly wanted to do this, he would have done this when he had the Democratic House and the Democratic Senate, or at least the Democratic Senate.
Yeah, absolutely. But they never, of course, under Harry Reid, the Senate became completely dysfunctional. So nothing ever did get done. But the reality is, Kevin, that you're right. He would have done lots of other things. Now he's got lots of ideas that nobody is going to be doing anything about. So it is political and it is absurd.
Let's go to the phones. Terry from State College, Pennsylvania, he always has a question for Dave Pezzo, and I believe he wants to talk a little bit about the president coming to town. Good morning, Terry.
Absolutely. Good morning, Kevin. Yeah, it's about Mr. Obama coming to town. Here's my prediction. He's going to come. He's going to promote his tax increase at a campus, and he's then going to talk about 2 years free college for everybody then that wants to give 2 years of labor. Of course, that labor will be the Obama Youth Corps. We know what that is. I think it originated in Nazi Germany. And that's it. That's my prediction. That's what he's going to do.
Well, your thoughts on what Dave Petzl said about taking your money?
Well, Dave and I are in the same camp. There's no doubt about it. Let's take a little bit further. Let's have Tom Munns. He's always been one of our frontline warriors. Have him cover every single overpass with all of his many signs. I'll help him tie them all up.
That's a lot
and we'll
of
talk to Mr. Obama as he travels by.
I think you guys will be put in the detainment for a while.
Yeah, the who's guy. Yeah, well, whatever.
I'm trying to figure out.
Is it worth it for the sake of the Republic? Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how many listeners of this program will be arrested when Obama's here.
It'll be an awfully large. Well, you know, here I think the judge would say, okay, bail $1. Isn't that a good possibility?
It is. Terry, anything else?
No, you guys have a great day. Thank you very much.
All right, our great friend Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. So what impact, if any, on the markets that are closed today would this statement have when they open up on Tuesday? He'll formally announce this at the State of the Union. It came out late Saturday night. What impact will this have on the markets?
As far as the tax increase, absolutely none, because there's zero chance of anything happening, Kevin. That's the good news here. The absurdity is that this president is such a political dog that even after 6 years, he's now a lame duck. He still will not just be the president. Just go be the president. That part is very, very sad.
Well, let's break down some of the issues that the president is expected to talk about. And again, we will ask you, Dave Petzl, your thoughts on why he's coming to town. Free community college, a $175 billion tax cut for the middle class, faster, cheaper broadband internet, a week of paid sick leave, discounted mortgages. Let's address a week of paid sick leave, which in turn, and he's just done this for federal employees. Now, look, we don't want people to get hurt and get sick, but does a week really make a difference? And how many people will take advantage of this like they take advantage of everything else?
Oh, absolutely. Right. Of course they do. And all it is it speaks more of, people can't figure out who they want to work for. They can't get an education. We need a nanny state to tell us how to be good employers, how to be good little employees. We need to have everything provided for us, health care, tell people how many sick days they have, how many employees you can have, all of these things. It is amazing to me that this continues to go on and on as if we haven't been able to become the greatest nation on earth in a relatively short period of time due to the fact and solely the fact that we are free to govern ourselves. As free as people have been in history. And we want to completely retrace that, and that the Obama and his clan knows better what employers should be doing and how many hours off they should have and sick leave. The list just goes on and on.
Here's another one, and I'm wondering if he's going to – this. By the way, historically, the second to last State of the Union for the president, he's going to take a look at $60 billion for 2 years of community college, which will be free. And you have a lot of young people that will say, hey, this is great, but how are we going to pay for it? That's
right.
The thing. Nothing is free. We've learned that throughout government.
Absolutely. Nothing is free. Nothing is remotely free. In fact, by government doing it, it becomes massively more expensive, massively less productive. We are far, far less likely to have any kind of success story with government doing anything at all. Anything. They do it very poorly, and they do it expensively. So number one, there's no question that that's a terrible idea to have government stepping in even more into education. But number two, this is something true in business, and we all understand this. When you start giving away everything, there isn't a perceived value. And so a lot of times when you're trying to say, let's say you want to drive people to a seminar to teach them something. If it's free, people won't go. Or not as many people go. And I think you're going to find the same thing with college. Community college is not expensive. So it's very affordable for people. I don't see why we need to try to think that this needs to be completely free. And the perceived value goes down as well.
We go back to the phones. We go to Meridian. Blake joins us now at 580KIDO. Good morning, Blake.
Hello, good morning. Love your show. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I just tuned in and you were talking about President Obama's wonderful things he's going to offer at his State of the Union speech. And, of course, he's just using this as a political football. He's not expecting to get these things, but he just wants to beat the conservatives over the head because, of course, they're going to oppose most of these things. And, of course, they'll be horrible bastards, the Republicans, because they'll oppose all these wonderful things that President Obama is proposing.
And we'll see that probably in Boise as well.
Yeah, and that's just my comment. I just wanted to say that. It's just a political tool just to bloody the conservatives and Republicans, make them look bad, like they hate people.
All right, Blake, thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Blake has an interesting point here. Let's take a look at a few of the other proposals the president is looking at, the community college, broadband, everything else. We've seen, and we touched on this earlier, a massive expansion of government. Thankfully, you have Mitch McConnell and John Boehner in the House and Senate that are going to prevent this. You know, what is the agenda besides just to make the Republicans look like they're Grinches, if you will?
Honestly, I don't know, because this is the kind of stuff that he's talked about. You know, it's a little different, but it's basically the same. Big government is the best solution answer for the last 6 years, and we find every election there's a more and more deterioration. And unless I really misread everything, but it looked to me like the last election, presidential election, was unlosable for the Republicans, but they did lose anyway.
Right.
But this last November, it was a complete repudiation of everything, and now he's just making up more giveaways. See, it's really I don't understand this guy. I have not really ever been able to figure him out, Kevin. I don't know that anybody has.
What do you make of him coming here to the Treasure Valley?
That seems weird, too, so I'm confused. I don't know why he'd come here. I heard a caller here right before I got here had said he's running out of places to go. I don't know that that's necessarily true, but certainly coming here isn't Democratic strong. So I think he'll people go see the president. They go see the president anyway. So they'll pack out the place, I'm sure. And there's plenty of students that see this as a great opportunity to go and see a little bit of history, so to speak. This is to go see the president. I remember seeing Reagan, right? You know,
the Gipper,
right?
Yeah.
And you remember your trip to the White House, too, of course. So all those things are very memorable.
I was invited to the White House.
That's right.
Yes.
You mean you haven't been invited by this guy?
No,
weird.
Not at all. In fact, east of the Great River, I'm prohibited from. Yes.
I understand.
More coming up with Dave Petzl. We'll talk about your money next. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller with Dave Petzo talking money. So it's Dr. King Day, and the day after, the markets will be back. Your thoughts on what we can expect towards the end of the month?
You know, this market has been tough. It really has. I mean, we've had a lot of volatility. Market has tended to be moving down just a little bit so far this year. But with all the turmoil out there, this market refuses really to have a major correction. And that really turned around on Friday. So I don't know that this market can be taken down. It seems to have a lot of resilience. So, Kevin, I don't know what's going to happen short term. I never do. But I can't be bearish on this market. This market just continues to roll higher. Until proven wrong, why not just go for the ride?
Ride it out, if you will. Let's get back to the president now. I'm sure he's going to mention Micron. He'll probably mention potatoes. Boise State, obviously. I'm trying to think of what other local things that he'll mention here.
Got to mention the Broncos, and he's a sports fan anyway. So
yeah. So I'm sure that he'll get a jersey, and that's an honor to give that to the president of the United States. He'll probably talk about the innovation going on at Micron, maybe something about INL.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of what other things that the president will talk about. And again, is it immigration? Is it taxes? Why come here?
Yeah, I don't know why here. It's also he's going to Kansas too, isn't that another?
Kansas, Colorado, and here.
And here, yeah. Not exactly Democratic. Well, Colorado certainly has a few, but
sure.
I really don't know what that's about, because if it was only Idaho he was coming to, then we might see some news out of Iraq, but I mean Iran. But I just don't see that as being why he would go to Kansas and all as well. So I don't know, Kevin. Your speculation is certainly better than mine. I have no clue why he would come here. This
right.
seems very odd. This
right.
is a state that certainly probably only second to Utah in voting for Republicans.
And I believe the governor is going to be out with back surgery for 3 weeks. So
right. So he won't be there to greet him.
Right. So I guess we'll see who the dignitaries are. But we have this major announcement from the president. We have the first quarter. And you said the markets are let the good times roll. What about the challenges, regardless of your business, of first quarter? Unless you're in the fitness industry, then they love the first
right,
quarter.
Right.
The first and last quarter in the fitness industry. But as far as what we're looking at for first quarter earnings and potential right here.
There's a couple of things right now. We're going to see earnings down generally because the oil companies are down so severely. But that's I think is a bit of a misstatement, because what you're going to see is then the lagging pickup in earnings from companies that benefit from lower oil prices. That's not immediate. That's not going to be immediate to their like pop. All of a sudden, people go, "Hey, I got more money in my wallet. I'm going to go out to spend more at the stores." But they will over time. So I think those earnings are going to come back. So I think this quarter is going to be a little bit weaker, which really is not first quarter, Kevin, but fourth. And it'll be a little bit slower than was originally anticipated. But they have started, and it is a mixed bag, as most earnings seasons are. But some companies are doing very well, like Alcoa, but everybody knew they were so going to do well. So there are, the industrials are doing better, and I think that bodes well for the future. I think it's a pretty good, pretty solid earnings season.
Economically, how much does this affordable gasoline help us?
Tremendously. This this is a very good thing overall. Now, I think that you're going to see and hear a lot of people talking about how bad it is for states like North Dakota, and it is. But at the same time, the big job creators, the good jobs, on and on. But the reality is that every person has now had a raise that costs the government nothing. We all just got an increase in our disposable income. When you multiply that across the United States, it's a big deal. And I think also it puts people more in a mode of, hey, let's go ahead and take a little weekend drive or a little trip. So I think you're going to see people also traveling just a little bit more. And all we need is a little marginal improvement on that. But more importantly than that, Kevin, everybody talks about you and I having a little more money. What about all those companies out there that burn a lot of energy or use a lot of oil in packaging and things like that? Well, that's virtually every single company out there, from Procter & Gamble to the aerospace industry, everybody that uses so much energy in production of anything. And chemical companies are going to be coming back on shore. They have been because of the natural gas revolution here anyway. But my point is that this is a huge net plus.
Finally, back to the president. He's going to take a look at announcing affordable mortgages. Are we talking price controls on mortgages?
Yeah, this guy doesn't want to stop. I mean, don't label him a socialist. He is a socialist. He is a socialist. I have not seen anybody more liberal ever right. have a public stage the way this guy has. He thinks government should impose all rules of everything, from how much private employers should be offering sick leave to what is a part-time worker, what's a full-time. I mean, all these just goes on and on and on. We need to raise minimum wage laws. These aren't starter jobs. We have to impose all the rules. And I find it really, really stunning, considering, again, like we talked about before, the repudiation in November of those guidelines.
I go back to this, and everyone says when the government gets involved in price controls, but the mortgage business has recovered from the devastation and the overvaluing and everything else, and the second and third mortgages that people put on their homes. Putting some type of government limit on what you can and can't charge, or affordable mortgages, they're still at historic lows.
They are. There's no need for this. I mean, number one. Number two, all we're going to do is start down that circle again that we did before, where people who can't afford homes shouldn't be in homes.
Which is something that you've covered since the very beginning of this. If you know, it's kind of like you get the job that you're not qualified for. Sooner or later, you're found out.
You are.
And nobody wants to be house poor.
Right.
As opposed to, just the usual being house poor, but to be in a home where, half or 75% of your paycheck goes into the mortgage doesn't leave room for much.
It doesn't, and there's no margin of safety when you don't have a down payment acquired to move in. It's all those things that are basic principles. It's not just, hey, young people don't have much money to put down on a house. Well, then save, because you have to have a margin of safety, or you are burying them in debt. You're burying them.
Dave Pezzo, Money Matters, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. You're working today, right?
I am working today.
All right.
I'm working every day.
You're always working. If only we could work as much as you.
Oh, well, I think you do, Kevin. I think you do.
If you call it that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't call it that either. Not you, me. This is way too much fun.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kay Millie with you. Welcome to Monday, everybody. By the way, you get a chance, go to the Kay Millie Facebook page. We've got a great article there talking about the safest states in America. Idaho, number 7. Now, I think Idaho should be number 1. You've got Montana in there, the great western states, if you will. Check that out. That's on my Facebook. By the way, if you're on the web, and who isn't these days, we'd invite you to participate in our newest poll. Are you ready to add the words? Add the words, indeed. Right now, we've got yes, add the words, no, add the words. And we have the yes is leading. 72% of the people responded to our web poll saying the words should be added, 27% saying no. Now, joining us now is a young man that has got a tough duty today. I don't know why they gave it to him. It's, to me, a form of torture. And I'm not saying this to be gratuitous. It's our great friend Jeff Manasso of Fox News Radio. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Kevin. Good morning to you.
I was with you yesterday. I was with you every step of the way.
We had it. But, within that 5 minutes in the fourth quarter, I mean, it fell apart. And, that team, that game is going to go down into an NFC championship history. I'm not going to say that it wasn't one of the most brutal games that I've ever seen, because it was. But a lot of missed opportunities there, and that sense of euphoria, that energized charge that the fans of Seattle must have felt. I mean, that only comes around but a couple times in your lifetime, and good on them. It must have been just an amazing feeling. Everything went right their way in the back half of that fourth quarter.
I suppose, but I have to say that I thought that the Packers did an outstanding job of exposing the Seahawks as not being as invulnerable as they were perceived at home or anywhere else.
I think so. Football is football, and anything can happen. You saw Russell Wilson turn it on some in the fourth quarter, running with the ball and things, things that he's known for that he's so good at. The trick plays, the onside kick that was a missed opportunity for us. The extra point, and you can go back and you can rack your brain and just figure out where everything went wrong. That Brandon Bostic with that onside kick. I mean, I feel bad for that guy because, it's a team effort. It's a team sport. You lose as a team. You don't win or lose by one person. And this guy's getting a lot of blame for not catching that ball. Had he caught it, we would have won, but that's something that he's going to carry with him for probably forever, and I feel bad for him.
Indeed, when you take a look at just that game, and I thought Aaron Rodgers played incredible.
Yeah.
I thought the defense on what they did to Russell Wilson, And look, they talk about Russell being a great quarterback, but you're not really judged on greatness until you have a game where your A game, your B game, your C game doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I suppose thank goodness for the beast.
The who?
Beast mode, Marshawn Lynch.
He's amazing. And although he's not going to, this isn't going to help the media's chances for him to talk to anybody during media week, because he's not known for talking to the press. But, you know, Marshawn Lynch, there were some key plays within that game where the players like Marshawn Lynch, like Russell Wilson and others, stepped up and it worked. And it was an unbelievable game. It was, you know, one of those games where it was improbable. A comeback like that was just improbable. And they did it. And that is it's a game that's going to go down in the history as one of the greats. It was a great game. Unfortunately for the losing side, it was pretty painful.
Well, enough about that, Jeff Manasso, our beloved Green Bay Packers fan here at 580 KIDO. Let's talk a little bit about the Patriots. I you know, it's funny, people during the NFL today were going, well, Luck's going to do it. And I'm thinking, no, the matchup, it's all about matchups. And the matchup favored New England from the very beginning.
Yeah, they did. But then again, the matchup favored Seattle. Well, I guess Seattle did win, but for most of the game, they were losing. This isn't a huge surprise with Coach Bill Belichick and Tom Brady going to their sixth Super Bowl together in Phoenix on February 1st. They're a good team. They've got a solid core, defense and offense. And you know, it was a blowout, 45-7 yesterday. There's a scandal or a controversy that's kind of starting out, you know, a day after the Patriots won the AFC Championship. Now, there's word of reportedly accusations that New England Patriots cheated in Sunday's AFC Championship game against the Colts by deflating the football. The NFL is confirming that they are looking into those allegations, but, you know, even if true, that would have also given Andrew Luck and the Colts the same advantage because they were using the same ball. So this is one of those stories, the gossip stories. See, what the media is going to do now in these 2 weeks ahead of Super Bowl Sunday, they're going to dig for those gossip stories, for those, you know, for the dirt and the matchups, and they're going to try and, you know, break out all the drama, and perhaps this is part of that. I don't know.
Well, people want to hate the Patriots, but and they will. So Bob Kravitz, who broke that story, we'll see how that plays out at 580 KIDO. Now, the teams that give the Patriots a tough time: Kansas City, the Ravens. Seattle doesn't have the playmakers as far as the receivers that they did previously. How you can be objective about this game? I cannot, for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see this playing out? Is it Belichick and Brady? Is it Wilson and the Beast?
I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea. I thought about that this morning on my way in. I'm just trying to think of all the different dynamics, the different parts to this challenge that these two teams are going to face on Super Bowl Sunday. And I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, two great teams with a lot of great assets, and you know, it's the Super Bowl. It's anybody's game to win.
Jeff Manasso, to be continued. Thank you.
You bet.
Now, Jeff kind of opined again and again and again about his Packers losing. However, we will talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. And to those people that love the Seahawks, I was in Fred Meyer yesterday. Couldn't believe all the Seahawks jerseys. I felt bad for the guy in the Packers hoodie behind me as I was checking out. Packers played incredibly well. Should have won that game. Could the Seahawks be a team of destiny? We'll discuss that coming up. We are taking your calls on Dr. King Day and the president coming to the Treasure Valley. We go to Michael in Meridian with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Kevin. Since today's Martin Luther King Day, and he gave his I Have a Dream speech, well, I have a dream for Washington, and a Washington without special interest corruption. And, you know, we have to look at the causes why we have special interest corruption today. And reason tells us that with voter bases so large, it's practically impossible for a candidate to get elected without special interest funding. So he does get elected with that funding, and then for continued support, campaign funding for subsequent elections. A little nervous here, sorry.
Look, Michael, it's just you and me, no worries. So you're talking about a dream where our politicians actually serve the people they solicit for the votes as opposed to sell them out.
Yes, uh-huh, exactly.
That's quite a dream indeed. Does any politician that you know of fit that bill right now?
Well, I'm not sure.
I mean, there's got to be one politician that you like.
I do like Labrador, but I, if I'm not mistaken, he voted for Boehner in the last for the Speaker of the House.
That he did.
So, but if we got our voter bases reduced down to size to proper size, like with the 17th Amendment, that drastically increased the voter base from just the legislature to the whole state. And so, in order for that,
right, you want more representatives.
Yeah, I do. And with today's technology, we can do that and really increase the membership in the House without building a large arena to hold them.
Now, are we going to have to pay them the same amount we're paying these slappies now?
Sure.
Well,
sure,
that's more money. I mean, if I'm a member of Congress, why do I want to give up my gig that I'm getting, $1.70 a year?
Well, you know, we can put them down to part-time like they should be. But the thing is, we're putting a lot of money right now with the 1,000-page bills and all the special interest pork that's in them. Okay? My ultimate dream, the end product that I'm looking at, is bills that are just a few pages in length on one subject only, written to the understanding of the common citizen.
Now, wait a minute. Now, Michael, if you do that, that's like simplifying the tax code. Now you're going to have a ton of accountants, lobbyists, and lawyers and everybody else out of business. What are they going to do? They're going to have to get a real job.
Well, I don't know about the tax code yet, but, you know, if bills were so small, there'd be no place for special interest, pork products to hide in there. Okay? And then legislators can read the bills entirely, because it's the height of irresponsibility, I think, for a congressman to vote for a bill that he hasn't read.
I'm with you, Michael. Thank you for the call. By the way, special announcement, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is our driver of the day. When you hear Dale Jr. between now and 9 o'clock with Kay Milley at 580 KIDO, be caller number 10, and you'll be registered to win that trip to the Daytona 500 courtesy of 580 KIDO and MCA Nashville. Remember, Dale Earnhardt Jr. and be caller 10. More details at 580KIDO.com, where you can sign up and be a part of our loyalty club. You'll get some great deals, great points, great games, and a chance to go see the Daytona 500 free. Let's get you to traffic at 580.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, coming up, intelligence anti-terrorism expert David Horowitz joins us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We are taking your calls on the president coming to town. 580-5436. We go to TPB, the Gem State Patriot, with Kevin Miller. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Interesting topics of conversation this morning. You know, I don't think it matters much why the president is coming to Idaho. Maybe it's because he's confused and he thinks we're a blue state. Or maybe he's coming to thank us for taking on more of the nation's nuclear waste. Or it could be because we're the only state with a Republican governor that has a state health care exchange. He chose to speak at BSU because it's one of the few places he could get a semi-friendly audience. You know, to make my point, we had BSU's Director of Government Affairs, Bruce Newcomb, speak at the enhanced carry hearings, and he talked about our dead Constitution. You know, all he's coming here to do is to promote his new tax on the wealthy, to promote how well Obamacare is doing and free college tuition, or basically he's going to speak about redistribution of wealth in America. You know,
he could do that anywhere.
Well, and he does. You know, why would anyone believe a word this president has to say? Just look at his statement on unemployment today compared to 1984. Once again, he's lying to the American public. In 1984, we had a labor participation rate of 63.9%. In 2014, the labor participation rate is 62.7%, the lowest in 35 years. I would suggest he find some people who can learn how to count. And as far as I'm concerned, the only good that can come out of him visiting here is if we can get a lot of protesters out with signs advocating for the release of Pastor Abedini.
Maybe we should have a pre-presidential party here on Wednesday.
I will not attend.
Why?
You'll miss me. I don't want to go. I don't want to support this man.
I'm talking about here at the studio.
Oh, at the studio, I'd be happy to come down, my friend.
I think we should invite everybody and have a pre-protest party.
I'd be happy to come down anytime you invite me.
Tea Party Bob, thank you. Quickly to traffic now. You're listening to 580 KIDO.